You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
$90 million. They basically use black Americans for profit. Steve, ever since the George Floyd death, Black Lives Matter has profited from the George Floyd death. What have they done for the black community? Where are the community centers? Where is the improvement in education? They use this money for personal gain. And you look at that house. That house does not help black Americans. It is basically blood money, Steve. And it's sickening and it's embarrassing. Black people were exploited. Black Americans were exploited by Black Lives Matter for the personal gain of a few.
How true that is. This is April 5, 2022. That's Leo Terrell, civil rights attorney. He's a black man. Of course, he's a Fox contributor, so I'm sure many progressives say, he's not really black, or he's Uncle Tom black. He's a fetch and get black. He's not really black. Are you going to start questioning a black man how black he is, really? He's questioning, where did Black Lives Matter spend $90 million? Well, we know where some of it went, according to New York Magazine. Now, this is separate from some previous reports we've given you. They purchased BLM leadership, purchasing a $6 million luxury mansion using cash in Southern California using donation money. Then they later used it for different creating online content and mailings and so forth, so they could claim it's kind of an office. And of course, we have had previous reports of how one of the co-founders, Calores, was also been purchasing another house where she spent nearly $3 million. They say, you're just trying to attack us because what good we're doing. What good are you doing? Who in the black community has been helped by the Black Lives Matter collecting $90 million? Now, we're going to set this story against the leftist outcry that Republicans voting against Judge Ketanji Jackson to get on the Supreme Court, those Republicans are racist. They're abusing blacks. Of course, again, I guess they forget, just to their benefit, forget that the first black going on the Supreme Court, nominated by Missouri Republican Senator Danforth, Clarence Thomas. And, of course, he was viciously attacked. What was the difference? It's a black person getting on the Supreme Court. Oh, well, he's a man. And then they found a black woman who claimed that he made sexual innuendos, allegations, molestation, so forth, so on. I don't have time to go through the background. Bottom line is, he's on the court. Is it because they were against him because he was nominated by a Republican? Therefore, he can't be really black, or he certainly can't be controlled the way Dems like to control and abuse blacks, as with Black Lives Matter. We'll get into that. Also, a special plea from the Ukrainian President Zelensky to the UN. What he says is graphic, but I'm going to share it because it's that important. Two guests coming up over the next 2 hours. Fred Flights, America First Policy Institute. Biden is willing to break his own sanctions against Russia to get a new Iran deal. How does that help or hurt? Fred, we'll get into that. Our other guest, Jordan Boyd with The Federalist. In the past, Joe Biden voted against sex information shoved down the throats of young school children. That was then. Now he's all for it. Why? And there's some internal documents suggesting more evidence of how Biden is going to open the gates to even more and more illegals. Plus, do we need a special prosecutor to investigate Hunter Biden and the money that supposedly went to the big guy, Joe Biden? And then we have a story I've been holding. I decided I'm going to have to cover it today. This is a very horrific story. Bodies of five aborted babies now turned over to Washington, D.C. police. They may have been aborted or killed shortly after birth. This is life in America nowadays. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right. If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program. John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, smokes that lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Woo, woo, woo.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The shock is just stunning, but it's not so much the shock of what's on Hunter Biden's laptop and the compromise. The shock is the lack of curiosity on the part of the media. They'd be all over this in a normal time when media people looked for winning Pulitzers and trying to do real journalism. They're not doing it. I just can't imagine how they can ignore this story, why they're not asking the question, who is the big guy that Hunter Biden talked about who's getting 10% of the spoils? And if it isn't Joe Biden, then tell us who it is. But it's pretty obvious who it is. And it's just an amazing thing to me, Maria, that we have one of the biggest scandals in American history. I don't say that lightly. I don't say that with hyperbole. This is one of the greatest scandals, potentially, in all of American history, going all the way to the White House and our intel agencies. And only a handful of Republican legislators seem to give a rip about it.
And I'm not going to dispute his statement that it is a historical scandal. He's not manufacturing words. It's not hyperbole. It's fact. Those are the words of former Arkansas Governor Huckabee about how the Hunter Biden laptop scandal was ignored for months, denied for months by the then mainstream media. And now the state-controlled media seems to be doing a 180. And the questions are immediately why. We'll get into that in more detail. But, I mean, you had to know something. Something is at work when finally last week CNN admitted the Hunter Biden laptop from hell is authentic. 532 days after the initial story broke October 24, 2020. At that time, of course, they called it Russian disinformation. Russian disinformation, all made up at the time. But then CNN's Evan Perez had to acknowledge on the air there are a lot of issues the Justice Department is looking into, including, of course, this laptop. It's featured a lot of stories about Hunter Biden on the right-wing media. Well, you should have done the same if you're being an ethical news source. I strike myself for saying that. No way I should have said they would even pretend to be ethical at CNNN or the rest of them. And John Harwood of CNNN. John Harwood also finally stating, and I'm quoting, Hunter Biden was trading on his father's name to make a lot of money. Now, again, that does not say Joe Biden is directly tied in. And, of course, using that little loophole, because the evidence isn't right in front of you at this moment, they just want to take the attitude of Joe Biden's clean. Joe Biden could not get a security clearance for a federal job with this kind of information surrounding him and his family. You could not. You would not get a security clearance. And CNN only admitted Hunter's laptop is authentic after the New York Times acknowledged it 2 weeks previous. And of course, it took the New York Times nearly 2 years to acknowledge what was authenticated in 2020 by New York Post Emma Jo Morris. But all of them, CNN, even the CNN former president Jeff Zucker, labeled the Hunter laptop stories a Breitbart rabbit hole, reference to Breitbart, the conservative outlet. And he said, I think on the Breitbart, New York Post, Fox News rabbit hole of Hunter Biden, which I don't think anybody outside that world understood. Last night, the Wall Street Journal reported that their review of all corporate records showed no role for Joe Biden on the Chinese deal. And yes, I do put more credibility in the Wall Street Journal than I do the New York Post. That's according to now former and disgraced CNN President Jeff Zucker. They were doing everything they could, weren't they, trying to cover it? Cover it up. Yeah, they weren't going to cover it. They were going to cover it up. They did not want it to be exposed and acknowledged. They didn't even want to bother asking questions because that was going into the election. All of this in October, remember, of 2020. The election was November in 2020. Anything that would make Biden look bad, oh, no. Put it aside and continue to hit Trump with Russian collusion stories. Even when the Times finally admitted there were emails showing Joe Biden's son involved in these certainly questionable and certainly possible criminal deals and influence peddling, they buried the lead. The Times headline read, Hunter Biden paid tax bill, but broad federal investigation continues. Then you have to go way down, 24 paragraphs into the story before they start verifying and saying this. People familiar with the investigation said prosecutors had examined emails between Mr. Biden, they're talking about Hunter Biden, Mr. Archer, his colleague, partner, and others about Burisma and other foreign business activity. Those emails were obtained by the New York Times from a cache of files that appears to come from a laptop abandoned by Mr. Biden. The email and others were authenticated by people familiar with them and with the investigation. And they're still couching it. The files appear to have come from the laptop. But then they talked to some of the people at the other end of the email, said, yes, I got that email, or yes, I sent it. But they're still trying to walk around it, aren't they? This is, let me put it this way. For everyone who wants to claim the last election was stolen by the Democrats, and that there were fraudulent votes cast, illegal votes cast, and all of that took the election from Trump. I'm not going to get into that boat with you this time because I want to stand on the land and simply point out the iceberg in front of you is not all of that. It's a fact that our First Amendment that guarantees freedom of the press and those responsible to carry out the First Amendment, the ones we depend upon to be, quote, ethical, were in the water also, and they could have busted that boat apart at any point. But this iceberg slipped deeper and deeper under, so the date of the election would pass by. And now it's popped up again. But even then, they're trying to walk it around. That it's not really Joe Biden. It's his son. Jim Jordan, Congressman, Republican of Ohio, gave a perfect, very succinct timeline example of how fast this story could accelerate if the news organization wanted it to really catch fire.
Last week, the Washington Post did two long stories, one at 11, one at 11:04. Two eight-page stories, 4 minutes apart, about the Hunter Biden laptop being real. Mm-hmm. Why all of a sudden is there this focus on now that what we all knew back then was the truth, that the laptop was real, the eyewitnesses were real, the emails were all real, the only thing fake back then was the news. So why all of a sudden are they coming clean? That's, I think, a key question that we need to get the answer to.
Yeah, we need the answer. We do need the answer. Because all the time, the media was ignoring it, and Trump was saying it's the Clinton campaign and the Democrats that are doing it. It's not me. And remember the 60 Minutes interview he did days before the election with CBS, Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes? And he talked about the Hunter Biden laptop. She said, why aren't you asking about that? And she said, it can't be verified. It can't be verified. Yes, it can, he said. If you look at it, you can. No, we can't. We're 60 Minutes, Mr. President. We don't deal with that kind of stuff. They took the same attitude as NPR. Public paid broadcasting. Public paid broadcasting, your dollar saying we don't do non-stories and this is a non-story. Now we're watching how all of them are scurrying around that the lights have been turned on. I mean, when CNN finally comes out and says, yeah, it was a laptop, it did have all this on it, and now they want to get, what's it changed in the 18 months since? Well, Joe Biden's in office. He's in office. That's it. The job was completed. The mission carried out. NewsGuard is a fact-checking partner that works to determine whether news stories are misinformation and if they merit any censorship. Its website says it partners with the U.S. Department of Defense, the U.S. Department of State, Microsoft, and nearly every outlet that opted to ignore or discredit the Post reporting maintains a near-perfect rating, even now, from NewsGuard's accuracy and credibility score. Politico, NPR, I just named, the New York Times. And I pointed this out the other day, but I want to continue to put it in front of you. They each still have a 100-100 rating. CBS, oh, they slipped a bit, 95 to 100. The New York Post, where the story first originated, a grade of 69.5 to 100. The Federalist, 12.5 to 100. The same groups that were out there yelling and shouting, it's Russian collusion and disinformation, it's not worth our time, they still get high, high grades. And those who raise questions about it, just raise questions, said give us some answers, they get attacked. So the question posed to Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, do we need a special prosecutor on this case?
Joe Biden said in the debate in the presidential election that my son made no money from companies with ties to China. Well, there are 4.8 million reasons why that is wrong. He made $4.8 million. Some of that went to his uncle. Who knows if 10% went to the big guy, went to Joe Biden, as that now somewhat famous email that was uncovered a year and a half ago. So I do think this requires a special kind of focus. We'll see if that's where we can go, if, in fact, the American people put us in the majority, or maybe the Justice Department will do that now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I'm curious about all these things. Why the focus now? Should there be a special counsel? What is really? Some people have speculated that there's some indictments coming. I don't know if that's the case, but well, that would, I guess, maybe explain why there's such a focus from the mainstream press on this story today.
Yeah, maybe. But he also points out something else. It was not just mainstream media. Big tech was involved. Remember how fast Twitter, Facebook, all of them shut down the New York Post links to their own story? Jim Jordan says that also needs to be investigated.
We all know they colluded 18 months ago to keep this information from the American people in the run-up to our most important election, the presidential election. You had legacy media, you had big tech, you had the Democrat Party, and of course, maybe most importantly, you had 51 former intel officials sign the letter that said this has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. All that proved to be false.
All false. All false. No, we need a full investigation. And yes, I still say Joe Biden is compromised. That means our national security is compromised. Coming up, Ukrainian President Zelensky and his remarks to the UN Council.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
By the way, speaking of what we were discussing, big tech helping hide the Hunter Biden scandal and so forth, you know, Tesla CEO Elon Musk now owns 9.2% stake in Twitter. And many are saying, well, that could make he would be the biggest shareholder, sit on the board of directors. And, of course, according to Senator Marshall Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, Musk opposes big tech censorship, that all freedom-loving Americans get behind the news. So many are saying this will be good because now maybe we'll get to some real facts and evidence of the Hunter laptop as opposed to covering it up. We will see. I do know this. Many on the left they're fuming. Oh, he's not qualified. He's not qualified to be there. He shouldn't do that. He can buy the stock that makes him qualified, a lot more qualified than Hunter Biden getting a job of Burisma when he knows nothing about gas, oil, railroads, whatever. All right, so the pictures coming out of Ukraine, atrocious. As written up by the New York Times and my morning slap in the face by David Linhart, civilians lay dead in the middle of the street, others by the side of the road, next to or under their bicycles. Often they'd been shot in the head. Some had their hands tied. That's pretty tame by what the Ukrainian president said today to the UN Security Council. He said in attacking Kyiv, there's not a single crime the Russians would not commit. He said the Russian military surge purposely killed anyone who served our country. They shot and killed women outside their houses. When they just tried to call someone who is alive, they killed entire families, adults and children. They tried to burn the bodies. Many were shot in the back of the head after being tortured. And he said the Russians, in some cases, killed civilians just for their pleasure. The next few words are going to be disturbing to you. But this is the real world of what the Ukrainian president is telling the UN Security Council. And he said the Russians, quote, cut off limbs, slashed throats, women raped and killed in front of their children, their tongues pulled out only because the aggressor did not want to hear what they wanted to say. He said all these actions are terrorist. And he's saying that the UN needs to step in and do something about it. And we need more help. Many are already saying that Russia should no longer be on the UN Security Council. It's a nuclear power. But they're saying, no, it shouldn't be there. Some are saying maybe it shouldn't even be in the UN. These atrocities, in some cases, Russia is trying to blame them. Trying to blame them on the Ukrainians, saying you did it to your own people. I don't think anyone with any intelligence believes that story. Just not going to. When I describe these things of what happened, that's the aftermath. Put yourself or your children in that situation while it's happening. Father being executed in front of them. The mother being held down and raped repeatedly, her tongue pulled out while the children watch. And then maybe the children will be killed or tortured or sexually abused or all of that. And either left dead or alive as a warning to others. In the meantime, there's a source that says that there's going to be additional sweeping package of sanctions measured against significant cost on Russia. We're going to put up another package of sanctions. I've said before, if you're going to put sanctions against them, you do it in full force immediately, not piece by piece. This latest is U.S. will block all new investment in Russia. Fred Flights is coming up to join us also as to how Biden is going to help give money to Russia. Stand by. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And before we go to our guests, let me go back to this point I was making a moment ago. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you have to shake your head and say, why now do you decide to take an extra step? Biden admitted the sanctions and all those deterrents, they weren't really going to deter anything. He admitted that, and yet he kept saying, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. Well, then when the shooting starts, he talks about, well, we didn't think they would, but now we're going to put more sanctions on. We're going to impose even more sanctions. We're going to make it tougher on them. And once the shooting starts and the massacre starts and the continuing artillery and bombs and missiles hit, a hypersonic missile fired just to show that Russia has it, landing something like 15 miles from the Ukraine-Polish border, then you're still talking about, well, we're going to find other sanctions. If you've got them in your bag and your toolkit says, I got all these tools here, but I'm going to take this one out and then this one, we'll try. I say dump the whole damn thing on Putin's head. So now the latest word out is that the U.S. is going to block all new investment in Russia to predict basically it will lead to an economic collapse of the Russian economy. Well, that's really frightening, isn't it? That's really frightening. So if we had this all along and we had not been using it and we were waiting for what? And Zelensky today showing up with the information He shared with them, said we must act on, the UN Security Council must act on Russia or dissolve itself. He said, if you don't know how to make this decision, you can do two things. Either remove Russia as an aggressor and a source of war so it cannot block decisions about its own aggression and its own war, and then do everything that we can to establish peace. The other option is to show how we can reform or change and work for peace. That's Zelensky. He said, if there's no alternative, the next option would be to dissolve yourself together, because there's nothing you're doing anyway besides talk. Good for him. What they needed to hear. So the Biden administration now has plans to still try to push forward this new Iran nuclear deal. By doing so, the Israeli ambassador to the UN said, that's just going to add legitimacy, one, to Iran's nuke program, and a backdoor for Russia that we're again trying to impose more and more sanctions on, a backdoor for Russia to avoid the harshest effects of sanctions. And that's according to Middle East diplomats. My guest, Fred Flights, is tied up. He gets booked so often. I'm lucky when I do get him. I appreciate him trying to be available. He may still be tied up on another interview. Fred is the vice chair of the American First Policy Institute Center for American Security, previously serving as chief of staff, executive secretary of the National Security Council during the administration of Donald Trump. Also a former CIA analyst. And he knows this Iran deal front and backwards. That, of course, is the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The Iran nuclear deal signed in 2015 during Obama's administration. Trump withdrew from the plan in 2018, promised to come up with a better deal. Never messed with it. Now Biden is running away to create still a new deal. But again, the Israeli prime minister said his country is not going to be bound by any agreement between the U.S. and Iran. Fred's on the line. Fred, glad to have you with us, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
So let's quickly, I had to cover some of the material in advance. First of all, this new deal, according to the former Israeli, the U.N., is going to provide, if it goes through that Biden wants, it would provide more legitimacy for Iran's nuclear activity. What's the issue there?
Well, it would. It's incredible. Iran would be able to once again conduct trade and peaceful nuclear activities. The problem is so much of this technology has dual uses. For example, uranium centrifuge machines, they can be used to make fuel for reactors. They can easily be used to make fuel for nuclear weapons. And that's what Iran is doing right now. It's moving in that direction. It's went far beyond the nuclear fuel level. It makes no sense to let Iran have this technology.
The other part of the issue is that some are saying the very fact that Biden is trying to do this provides a back door for Russia to avoid the harshest effects of any sanctions. On one hand, we're told we're going to get tough with Russia. We're going to impose new sanctions. Just today, they have out another story and say we're going to get so tough that we will block all new investment in Russia, and that will lead to the economic collapse of Russia, GDP. But if we do the Iran deal and Russia helps us get the Iran deal, Iran's going to be giving money to Russia.
There's going to be a carve-out in this deal, assuming it ever takes place, and there's good reason to think it might not, that will allow Iran to trade with Russia. And right now, Iran is trading with Russia nuclear and missile technology. So missiles that could one day hit the United States and can currently hit Western Europe, Russia will be able to help Iran make these weapons. It's just outrageous. And on top of that, Russia's sort of in charge of this deal because the Iranians wouldn't sit down with us at the negotiating table. We let the Russians negotiate for us. And the Russian ambassador bragged recently how he and the Chinese ambassador got a much better deal for Iran than they thought they could ever get.
Well, there is also something else that happened back in Feb that word's just beginning to come out. Russia and China cementing some ties before Ukraine happened. that 6 days before the military campaign began, Russia said they have a multi-year deal with selling coal to China. And basically, both of them apparently on paper saying, we will work together to destroy the U.S.
Well, they see the U.S. as a common adversary. And I think there was a very troubling deal before hostilities broke out in Ukraine. And I think the Chinese plan to exploit this deal to the hilt. But having said that, I think the Chinese government is very concerned about how badly this operation has went, how it has hurt the reputation of their partner. And I think they're pressing the Russians to call this off and to withdraw. They're going to blame the U.S. for it publicly, but I think privately the Chinese are very worried about what this is doing to the global economy, to the Chinese economy, and how much it is weakening Russia.
And how much does China now depend upon Russia? I understand Russia and Saudi Arabia have been for their top sources of oil in recent years anyway.
It's true, but also Russia's a junior partner. It has an economy, the equivalent of, I've heard, either Belgium or Italy. And the Chinese would like to work closely with Russia, but they would also like to treat it as a junior partner. I don't think the Russians are pleased about that, and I don't think they're pleased that the Russians haven't come through nearly as much as the Chinese had hoped in terms of providing them with basic economic assistance to get around the strong Western sanctions. At least they haven't done it so far.
So today, I'd like to get a quick take from you on Zelensky appearing before the UN Security Council and saying, basically, if you don't take some action against Russia, expel them, and take something, then you might as well dissolve the entire UN, because all you do is sit around and talk.
Well, you and I have never been fans of the UN, Larry, but let's think about what the UN is. It was a compromise we made with Stalin, who was actually a much more bloodthirsty dictator than Putin. And the idea was, it's better to keep thugs like this inside the diplomatic tent. So kicking Russia out of the Security Council is really a bad idea, because that gives them no alternative rather than to engage in war. I think they should pay a price. I think that we should call out Russia for committing war crimes. But I don't think there's any point in Biden saying Putin should be tried for war crimes when that will never happen. And I think it makes Putin less willing to negotiate a ceasefire. We need to. Biden has to start picking his words much more carefully.
I agree with that. I also agree in your analogy you made, and that is back to that old saying, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Fred Flights, as always, we appreciate you joining us, sir.
Good to be here, Larry. Thanks.
You bet. Fred Flights, Vice Chair, America First Policy Institute. Coming up, there's new internal documents from the Department of Homeland Security that are basically looking at, you thought our border was open now? Listen, in short term, under the Biden plan and its Department of Homeland Security, the word itself will cease to exist. Please stand by for details. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right. Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I told you yesterday how Biden is moving forward to drop Title 42. That was the health clause from the CDC that allowed Trump and Biden to expel illegals because we're dealing with COVID. Trump used it as much as he could. Biden seldom used it, but it was still in place, and it was some value. But now we supposedly are past all of this, right? And yet, the Democrats continue to ask for more money. And they got support from two Republicans, including Senators Romney, Burr of North Carolina, and Blunt of Missouri. Democrats agreeing to spend $10 billion in emergency pandemic funding while ending Title 42, which would prohibit the entry of immigrants who might have COVID or another health risk. There's no sense to be made there. You will run yourself into the ground trying to figure that out. And, of course, we also told you the other day that Biden's also going to say, well, let's place some of these illegal, let's get money to put them under, quote, house arrest. Let's spend more money. Put them under house arrest. And then spend more money, give them taxpayer-funded attorneys to fight deportation. The protocol would include ankle bracelets and phone apps to keep track of them. Yeah, right. And of course, now Biden is looking to slash additional deportations, telling federal prosecutors you need to drop cases against illegal aliens unless they are considered a public safety threat. That's part of a newly leaked internal memo. And in that memo is a lot more details. This leaked memo talking about once Title 42 is ended, acknowledging few legal pathways to removal would be left after Title 42. It would, according to this new DHS document, claim that most released migrants do not appear for removal proceedings. In other words, I don't know why you'll put an ankle bracelet on them. We keep track. They're not going to show up. You're not going to go look for them. And alternatives to detention will be implemented on a greater scale. As I said, let's give them house arrest. And that would, again, include tracking them, making sure you know where they are. We don't know where they are. And you're not going to know where they are. This is another example of somebody sitting in a little tiny, tiny room in the back of the boiler area of maybe some part of the building where Congress meets. Maybe there, maybe, who knows, maybe somewhere under a bus station, coming up with what else can we do to get more illegals into this country and keep them here. We are already expecting, by every prediction, even the Biden administration, expecting a surge. You're not kidding. Really? Going to have a surge? Yep. You're going to have a surge. 18,000 a day. The president wants also another $375 million to speed up the asylum system and shut down some family detention centers. Some of these migrants, some 200,000, could be enrolled in some of these programs of bracelets and phone check-ins by October, 200,000 of them, apparently. But then you're going to need another $2 billion, $2 billion for emergency shelters. Where's the left on all this? Where are all the members of the progressive left that's all about open borders? Why are you not offering your home, at least a bedroom in your home, at least the basement of your home, or for you Hollywood elites, your garage, which you just have to move the Porsches and the Mercedes out of the way for them to have a place to live? Why aren't you offering all of that instead of always looking for, let's keep our borders open? These people are suffering. They need help. What are you doing to help them? You are doing the same damn nothing that BLM did to help black communities, as we started this hour discussing. $90 million minimum collected by BLM. That's only when they were forced to come up with some numbers. A lot of it going for private homes for the co-founders of BLM, and they're still down with the struggle. Oh, and in the midst of all this, you talk about somebody else who gets rich, Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams, when she first ran for governor in Georgia, she had $109,000. Now she's worth $3.1 million, according to records she had to file to run again for office. It's good to be a liberal and make money off of the gullibility and idiocy of other people, isn't it? Coming up, you're racist if you didn't vote for a black woman on the Supreme Court.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.